Well, this morning we're going to continue with the whole series of the power of words. We started last week with the power of words. And let me just say, that is a foundation for what we're going to talk about today. If you missed last week's message, I encourage you to go either to our website under resources. You'll see messages. You can watch the message online on our website. Go to YouTube, type in KWCF service, and it'll also bring it up there. And this series will change your life. We talked about that last week. It'll change the direction of your life. It'll increase the quality of your life. Now, today we're going to continue, and we're going to talk more about the nuts and bolts of this. So I hope you picked up a fill-in sheet as you were coming in. Can fill them in, take these thoughts home with you. Title of this morning's message is Toxic Words versus Healing Words. Toxic words versus healing words. Both can come out of our mouth. And we want to see what's the results if toxic words come out. What happens when healing words come out of our mouth? The scripture says in Proverbs 26:18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. All of us speak so many words, and many words that come out of our mouth, we know they're not really the best, and we're not careful. It's like it says here, we're like a madman. We're throwing these words around like firebrands and arrows. And, you know, as the scripture says, in the power of the tongue is life and death. And it says in this verse, even death. And then so when we realize that, we have the tendency to make excuses for our words. Now, here's the first point. Don't make excuses for your words. Don't make excuses for your words. Here's some of the ones we say. Well, I didn't mean it. I mean, I didn't mean it. Well, the trouble is you did mean it. Because the scripture says, out of the heart, our mouth speaks. You meant it at that moment. Maybe we meant, well, I didn't mean for that to stand alone. I should have said some other things. But the thing is, you still said it. And it did stand alone. So just own up to it. Don't make excuses and say, well, I didn't mean it. Here's the next one. That was just talk. I mean, it was just words. Doesn't mean much. Well, the truth is it does mean a lot. The phrases you say, the words you say have tremendous meaning. How many couples that I've counseled in marriage counseling, and they can remember things that were said 10 years ago, 15 years ago, can quote it word for word what was said. And yet the other one could have said, well, I don't even remember that. It was just words. No, realize your words are powerful. Also, children, how many children have been damaged? And as they grow into adulthood and they're actually going through trying to cope with things that they have, they can remember things their parents said to them. Exact statements spoken over them. So don't just say, oh, just words. No, your words are important. And then, of course, there's the one that even this verse replied to. We can say, well, I was only joking. You know, I was just joking. You know, I was just joking. As if it didn't mean anything. Well, the person said, well, that hurt me. Hurt you? You know, that's like taking a hammer, putting a piece of velvet over it, and then hitting someone on the head, and they go, ooh, that hurt. And then you respond, well, it's just velvet. Just velvet. And that's how it is when we say words. Because many times humor, it contains a put down. You need to realize humor can hurt. And it just doesn't hurt once. It can hurt doubly. Because it can hurt, and then it double hurts when you say, can't you take a joke? Now you've done a double hurt. As if it's their fault they took injury at your words. No, don't make excuse by saying, I was just joking. Here's another one. Well, they know what I meant. They know what I meant. They should know what I meant. As if we expect them to take the obvious meaning of your words, ignore that, and decode it into something that's less harmful. We say, well, they know what I meant. No, they didn't know what you meant. They can only go by the words you say. It's not on them, it's on you to speak words properly. Then we say, well, every word I said was true. Everything I said was true. As if they need to take the truth. You can't stand the truth. Listen, not all true things, not all truths need to be spoken. We are to speak the truth in love. And unless you've taken the time to take the truth you want to share and wrapped it in a whole experience of the person's relationship with you that they know is loving and kind and gracious. And if you haven't done that, and you haven't taken into consideration how they might interpret what you're saying, what mood they're in right now, if you haven't created an atmosphere where you can speak the truth in love, then just saying, well, I was just telling them the truth. I mean, they needed to hear it. They should hear it. Well, they need not hear it in the way you spoke it. And if you make an excuse that way, things are just going to get worse for you. Words are tools, and we need to learn how to use them well. I mean, they're tremendous tools. Words are so powerful, just like a natural tool. You know, you can't do things with hand, but man, when you have tools, you can build things. You can create things when you have tools. Words are tools, but you need to learn how to use it. You can hurt yourself with a screwdriver if you use it wrong. You can take a hammer and tear something down, or you can take a hammer and fasten something down that needs to be in that place. Words are tools. You need to realize they're tools. They're powerful tools. They are power tools. You got to be careful with them because they can injure if you don't use them properly. We ended last week with this verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we saw that words and your heart are connected. Now we know that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know our hearts change our words. You change your heart, it'll change your words. But here's the thing I want you to see, especially as we talk about this message today. Your words also change your heart. You can speak your heart into a dark place. The word that's coming out of your mouth, what you're saying, can put you in a mood, can put you in a snit. And it wasn't just the situation, it's what you thought about it, what you said about it, and then how all people responded to what you said about it. You need to realize your words affect your heart. So it's a two-way street. Yes, out of your heart, your words speak. But also your words can change your heart to make it what it should be. We need help with this, folks. We really need help. The Bible says no one can tame the tongue. Boy, just doing this in a natural sense, it's so difficult to change patterns, the way you've spoken, the way you've reacted for years. But we need to change. Listen, you need to change. You need to change from toxic words to healing words. And we need help. Now, when God called Moses to go and deliver Israel out of Egypt, Moses' excuse was, I can't talk. I don't know what to say. Well, the Lord told Moses that he would help him. Here's what it says in Exodus 4:11-12. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say. God told Moses he would help him speak. That's what we need. Now, this was particularly to Moses and his situation, but we all are that. When you begin to realize how powerful your words are, and you've had experiences where you've said the wrong thing, you'll pray this prayer. Say, God, you helped Moses, help me. Be with my mouth. Help me to speak the things you want me to speak. So, we're all in situations where we need things to change. We need a change at work, in our marriage, in our family, in the neighborhood, in our school, you know. We all want to change things for the better. But here's the thing. We have a choice of words when we want things to change. There's a choice of words when you want things to change. You can either speak toxic words or healing words. Two kinds of words can come out of your mouth. Toxic words or healing words. Here's what Luke 6:45 says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So we know our heart needs to be perfected. It needs to be joined with God. We need to give our heart to God. Because if you give your heart to God, there's going to be a goodness in your heart, and then you will speak out of the goodness of your heart. Or you have a negative part in your heart, and we speak out of the evil treasure of your heart. It's interesting that it says treasure. It's almost like a treasure is a place... is in a place of repository, you know, you deposit a treasure in a chest. Your heart is like your chest. And what you put into your heart, what you let come into your heart, will determine what words come out of your heart. So this is saying, you know, the good man out of the good treasure, the evil man out of the evil treasure. Now here's the thing. Our hearts are both. There's parts of my heart that I'm not too proud of. And if I'm not careful, I'll speak out of those areas of my heart. But then there's some good areas in my heart. And I need to speak out of those areas, not out of the negative areas of my heart. This is why the Bible says, you know, it's hard for us to know our heart. And it's deceitful. And you have to be careful. But I think what you need to do is just keep giving your heart to God. Keep filling your heart with His Word. Keep filling His heart with good things, or your heart with good things. You put those good treasures in. You listen to messages like this. You worship God. You're filling your heart with good things. Then out of the treasure of your heart will come good things. And yeah, there still be that area. Our hearts are deceitful, but keep giving your heart to God. Say, transform my heart. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new, as we sing in the song. Here's what Proverbs 12:18 says. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. One who speaks like the piercings of a sword. They have a sharp tongue, a cutting tongue. The Bible says there's one that speaks that way. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Or the tongue of a wise person, the words that come out of their mouth, it brings the situation to be better. It's healthy words. Words that enhance and not detract. Here's what I put in your notes. Toxic words cut and poison the relationship. Healing words soothe and enhance the relationship or the situation. So you have a choice. Out of your mouth. Toxic words or healthy words. You can react and attack. And that's usually where toxic words come out of. I'm reacting and I attack. Toxic words. Or you can respond with healing words and praise. So toxic words. Toxic comes from the word toxin. What's a toxin? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary. A toxin is a poison produced by an organism that causes disease or death. A toxin is produced by an organism. We're an organism. You can create toxin. And if you allow your words to be toxic, they're words that poison. They're words that cut. Words that bring disease and damage. Toxin. Meat that's spoiling can have toxins in them. And so we don't want to eat toxic meat. We throw toxic meat out. What if it's just a little bit toxic? Will we eat it? No. But we make an excuse many times. Well, yeah, maybe I said this and that, but the most of what I said was right. And so they should ignore that which was toxic. Well, they can. It's going to have an effect. It's like you have a glass of water, you put poison in it, and then you give it to someone to drink and say, you know what? 95% of that's good, clear water. Yeah, maybe there's 5% poison in it, but, you know, most of it's good. Well, the poison has infected everything. This is the danger with toxic words. It's not that every word you say is toxic. Maybe some of the things you're saying are good, but it's got the toxicity of those negative words, those destructive words. And so you think, you're just looking at the... See, we can see toxic words in other people, but we don't see it in our own language. All we say, well, I said this good, and yeah, what I don't remember, I said this, and but you said this. Then we dismiss it. Oh, I didn't mean it in all the things we said at the beginning. You need to own up to toxic words and know and realize how damaging they can be. We need to identify them and get rid of them. Toxic words are produced in an atmosphere of haste and anger. There is a setting, there's an atmosphere that toxic words flourish in. And they reproduce and they grow quickly and they come to maturity. Toxic words grow in an atmosphere of haste and anger. Listen to what it says in the scripture here. James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because if you speak quickly, there is a greater possibility that you will speak toxic words. You haven't thought it through. You haven't chosen your words carefully. Now, here's what some people do. Because they excuse that and say, oh, I just didn't say the right words, eh? No, you didn't say the right words. Don't dismiss it. Oh, I just didn't say the right words for you, eh? Yeah, you didn't say the right words. You poisoned the conversation. Own up to it. Don't slough it off. Own up to the words you're speaking out of your mouth. And there's more of a danger for you to speak toxic words when you're quick. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Your response can make the situation worse. If you had responded to the angry word towards you, a soft answer will turn away wrath, will deflect wrath, will soften it. But if you add fuel to the fire by you coming back, they said something, well, I'll say something. They were angry, well, I'll speak angry. They called me this, I'll call them this. And so we get worse and worse in all of this, and it just becomes dangerous to just respond in kind. It says, Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You talk quickly, there's going to be sin. You're going to speak toxic words. You put a guard in your mouth like we talked last week. A detector on your mouth. Remember we talked about when you go through the airport, you go through a metal detector? You need to have a toxic detector on your mouth. That when you start to speak, it goes off, the alarm goes off, and you go, I'm speaking a toxic, and we don't dismiss it, we don't say it's okay. We stop and we say, you know what? I need to stop talking right now. I need to listen. That's another whole message on the power of listening. So, it's okay. You know, you're going to feel anger. And it's all right if it's just a feeling of anger that's shown you there's some displeasure and you're reacting to it. But once you have anger, it can either be expressed negatively or it can be expressed in a way that's going to resolve it. Now, our default position is when we're angry is we're going to speak toxic words. So you've got to be very, very careful, especially when any feeling of anger should put a real alert off in your mind. I'm really angry right now, or I'm feeling anger. I need to be careful what I say, because I can either add fuel to the fire and cause the situation to be not able to be resolved, or I can speak words that will be words of peace and words that healthy that will resolve the situation. You do have a choice. All right, here's some words that should be completely eliminated from our conversations. Here's the first one: name calling, derogatory names. Now, a lot of this can be swear words. I mean, you just need to eliminate all swearing from your vocabulary. It's not good. Some people, it's just strong language. It tells them how I feel. Yes, it is. And you just stirred up wrath and you just ruined the relationship and you've just damaged it to a degree that it's going to be so much harder now to get it better because you just lashed off in a profane diatribe at the person. You know, so those things need to be, you're such a a-hole. Just eliminate all that language out of your mouth. I thank the Lord that I was raised in a family that I don't have a problem with that area. I have problems with other areas, but I don't have a problem with that area because it's never been part of my language. I never heard my father swear. I never heard my mother swear. I've never heard my Kay. I've never heard her swear. The kids have never heard me swear. I've never heard the kids swear. Now, I can't vouch for when I'm not around, but I do believe that that's true, because one time when we were years ago when they were small, a neighbor came to us and said, I like my kids playing with your kids because your kids don't swear. But it's just, I thank the Lord for that heritage. But before I feel too proud or we start sort of patting ourselves on the back, there are other words that are just as toxic, but we think they're allowed. Words like idiot, jerk, loser. We think those words are okay. I'm just making a point here. They're just as toxic. They're just as damaging. They're just softer on our ears. So don't get into this thing. You can call someone by a name. Don't just eliminate all name calling. Here's the next one. Words of dismissal and disgust. Words of dismissal and disgust. This is where you just dismiss with, oh, you're so stupid. All right, have it your way then. You make me so mad. I can't talk to you. These are words of dismissal. Words of disgust. Shut up. I can't ever think there's an appropriate time to say shut up to someone. So dismissive, such an area of disgust that you talk to someone else. Labeling someone with this. I mean, don't you want them to be better? You just labeled them as the exact opposite of what you want them to be. I mean, really, when you think about it, we realize how stupid we are. And I didn't call you stupid. We just act stupid sometimes. Here's the other kind. Words that take the heart out of people. Words that just cut right to the heart. I hate you. I wish I'd never married you. You're the most selfish person I've ever met. Anytime a couple in conversation use the word divorce as a leverage, as a threat, that is so damaging. So hurtful to a relationship. It's like I've taken out this gun. We're in this conversation. Now I take out this gun, and by my showing you this gun, I'm going to force you to do what you should do because I've threatened you with this gun. Now, the issue itself is lost. All the person is thinking about is the gun. But we do this so many times in so many different ways. I'm going to force this issue by threatening with this thing. You just need to remove all those words out of your mouth. Here's another word. Words that disparage. Words that disparage or belittle other people. Put them lower than yourself. Words of criticism that show you don't respect them. You don't value this person. You're so pathetic. You're so uncaring. You're selfish. You're so rude. You speak to me so rudely. These are words that disparage other people. They're toxic words. We think they need to hear them. We think we will enlighten them by telling them this. That the person, once you told them they're pathetic, that they're going to go, oh, well, let me hear more of what you're saying now. So you can say something that will make you better, feel better, or you can say things that will make the situation better. You have the choice. Choose healing words that makes the situation better. And when you give a person a piece of your mind, just realize, you know, you're not thinking right by saying this. You're not thinking right by even saying that. Because you're not thinking about how can I make the situation better. I'm not thinking about how I can heal this. How can I can bring positive change to this. I'm just venting. And the Bible says, a fool vents all his feelings. But a wise man holds them back. So you can just vent. Just vent. And by doing so, you're making it worse. You're damaging. Someone that's wise will say, okay, Lord, help me, because my whole goal is here. I honor this person. I love this person. I care for this person. Maybe they don't see what they're doing. Help me to use words that will enable them to change, that will prompt a change for the good. Let me, out of the good treasure in my heart, speak words that bring healing, not words that's going to cause this to be worse. We can use words like, you know, we call someone insensitive. You're so insensitive. And we think that's okay. I've identified the problem. But did it make it better? Did it make the person feel like they want to change? Or did you just put them down? As if you're so much lower. The other people are sensitive, but you're insensitive. You're uncaring. You disappoint me. Well, if someone disappoints you, is that going to prompt them to say, I want to do more good things for this person? You've already labeled them. You've already put them, you've put words around them that's put them in a jail. They're insensitive. They're uncaring. So you got to say, okay, wait a minute. What picture am I painting to this person that I want them to move towards? Here's another words that need to be eliminated. Words that overstate. Exaggerations. You always do that. You never are on time. The use of always and never are just words that should be completely moved from your mind. It prompts in the other person a reaction. I don't always do that. In fact, I remember the time when I didn't do that. So you start telling the time that you didn't, and the other person's saying, and then they get upset with you because you're giving a time when you never did this, or I don't always do this because I did this. But you don't realize your words caused the response. Your words destroyed the communication. Your exaggeration didn't leave any hope. Now, this is the whole thing. Did your words leave any hope if someone never does this? They always do this. Have you given them any room to change? Have you opened a little glimmer of light? Or have you just slammed it shut with a never or a always? I mean, you've got to think these things through. What effect is our words having on other people? What effect would it have on you? Now, this is it. We see it in other people, but we don't see it in ourselves. And this is where we need to connect. We need to connect. There's a disconnect with so many Christians. They see what other people do wrong. They will say what they should do right, but the disconnect is they don't do it. Or they don't know how to do it. They're not observant enough. They're not alert enough to say, okay, I'm doing this. I'm the one that's causing this. Or at least I'm contributing to it by the words I'm speaking into this situation. So these are things we need to just remove. Here's another word. Words that rub salt in the wound. Just rub salt in the wound. Which when you bring up things from the past, something's almost healed. But you're going to bring it up. As the one guy said, you know, every time I get in an argument with my wife, she gets historical. And the guy says, historical, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She'll bring up everything for the last 20 years. She brings it up over and over. You're just rubbing salt in the wound. It was healing. But no, you had to go back and rub salt in it. These things just shouldn't be. You know, Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, this is giving it to the feminine gender, but guys, we are as guilty as this ourselves. Just a dripping, a drip, 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 nag, 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 over and over again. It's like, I don't know whether Chinese do this or not, but I always heard it as the Chinese torture, where they set an individual and they start a drop of water in the head and a drop of water in the head, and it just continues in the first 5 minutes, no problem whatsoever. But then in time, that water's hitting the same spot. Now it gets painful and it's hurt and you're dreading every drop. That's how it is when we nag. Being passive aggressive. Little cut here, little dig here, little response, little sarcasm here. We just throw it in and we think it's helping the situation. I mean, really, really. I mean, we need to really grow up. It says it's just a continual dripping. We need to overcome it. You can't eliminate harsh, toxic words from your world, but you can eliminate them from your mouth. You're going to have people talk to you in a negative way. You just have to say, how am I going to handle it? I'm not going to respond in kind. Just eliminate it from your mouth. Now that brings us now to what are healing words? What are healing words? Let's go through this quickly here this morning. The power of praise. The power of praise. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. All some people just need is a good word. Just a kind word. Just a comment of commendation. Just an encouragement. Just a good word. Be a dispenser of good words. Let them just have a huge reservoir of good words and hand them out indiscriminately. I mean, just give good words. There's a lot of people that are depressed. They're down. They might be a clerk serving you, a waiter or a waitress or someone else. And you go, man, they were rude. Not really. You know what? Maybe all they need is a good word. Just change their mood. Maybe they have talked themselves into a negative spot because they're taking all the negative things that's been said and they're mulling it in their mind. All they need is a good word, a word of commendation. You know, simple praise can revolutionize a life, can put someone on the right track. We were made to praise. We were made to praise God, worship God. We're made to praise. If you get in line with God's heart, you'll be a praiser. You'll praise God and you'll praise people. Our children need affirmation. We know that most of the time. We know, praise, affirm your children. And they can suffer into childhood when they mature if they don't have those good words spoken over them. So praise people. Praise people. Extravagant praise. I don't mean over-the-top praise. I just mean profuse praise. Not stingy with your praise. Most of us are. It's not that we don't think good things. We just never speak them. We're quick to say something when it's wrong, especially our spouse. Well, I didn't like what you did there. Well, what about the 9 things they did during the day that you did like, but you never said anything? We don't say anything because we expect them to do that. And expectation is the greatest enemy of gratitude. Well, I expected them, so don't be free to be grateful. I mean, I don't want to puff them up. I don't want them to get prideful. We're so worried about caring for other people that we never say good words into their life. We excuse ourselves. Well, that's just not my makeup. Well, maybe you are an introvert. If you're an introvert, that's okay. But just be more intentional. And you know that if you are that, someone that doesn't say much, and what you do say, it's a comment that praises someone, a commendation. You know how much more powerful that is, that someone that's talking all the time? It goes a long way. Praise will make you a powerful, influential person. Think about this. Here's the disconnect. We don't think that. We're asking God, Lord, let me be a greater witness for you. Help me be more influential. Help my relationships to go better. Help me to overcome this problem, tension in my relationship. And we don't realize, you know what? You're not praising enough. You're not commending people. You're not saying good words. You're being stingy with your praise. Be profuse in your praise. It makes all the difference in the world. Now, you need to be diligent and intentional and learn to praise people. You just have to think about it. Learn to praise people. Maybe you're going to meet someone that day. You need to think to yourself, I'm going to be with someone. How could I praise them? What do I like about this person? I'm going to say something. Maybe I've never told them that I appreciate this about them. But you're intentional and you say, I'm going to do that. Just look out for the reaction you're going to get. See, we take our best friends for granted. I have a good friend. We've been friends for years and years and years. When have I told him I appreciated our friendship? Very little. But I have more so of late. So, I really appreciate it. You've been a good friend. Just those simple words can lift someone up, encourage someone, make them want to be a better person. But you have to be intentional. Praise is a tool. There's a right way and a wrong way to use it. So it's not a flattering. Proverbs 29:5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So this is not just manipulative. I'm not really sincere. I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to flatter the person. No, that lays a snare for their feet. Don't tell someone they're good at something when they're not good at it. You're just setting them up. Praise, genuine praise is honest, sincere. and it's genuine. And there's enough things in people's life that you can praise them for. Don't flatter them. Praise them. Now here's a novel thought. Deal with problems by praising the person rather than criticizing. Ever think about that? No, our default position is I'll tell them. And we tell them in ways that are making it worse. Why don't we deal with a problem by praising someone? Catch them doing something right. Well, 9 times out of 10, they do the wrong thing. We'll catch them on the 10th thing and praise them for it. You know, I really appreciated when you did that. You know, that shows me your character. That shows me that you care because you did that. You think that would be more effective than drip, drip, drip the 9 times every time you're criticizing? You never do this. We want words that are good words, healing words, words that bring about the response we want. You are more powerful than you think. Your power lies in your ability to praise someone honestly, genuinely, appreciating who they are and telling them about it. Give them a reputation to live up to. That is so much more than just criticizing someone all the time. You say, well, is this really biblical? Yes. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Turn on the light. Don't just always speak about the darkness. Turn on the light of praise, the light of respect, the light of honor, the light of appreciation. Just speak into someone's life. Speak over them. Powerful words that will transform. We all need to hear affirmation and praise in areas we don't think we're good at. So when you see someone doing something, be quick to praise. I mean, be quick to praise. Just think about it. We need praise in 3 areas. We're winding this up. Praise in 3 areas. We're made of a body, soul, and spirit, and we need praise in all 3 areas. So when you praise something, when we talk about the body area, it's their physical being. Now listen, I don't mean flattering them for praising them for something they had nothing to do with. So if you say to someone, you know, you're very pretty, you have a pretty face, that's flattery. They had nothing to do with that. And so don't flatter a person. But what you can do, if it's appropriate and right, say, I like the way you do makeup. That really looks nice on you when you do your hair that way. You can talk and praise someone for their physical, if they had something to do with it. And say, well, everyone knows they're attractive. They don't. Or maybe they're spending an inordinate amount of time doing it because no one's ever told them. They're trying to impress. But be legitimate in your praise. Praise someone in the physical realm. Here's the second. They're your soul, which would be your mental or your social aspect. If you praise someone for their mental ability, you can say something like, you know, you ask good questions. You really think things through. I like the ideas you come up with. Now do it in times when you do like the idea they came up with. Let it be sincere, but let it be profuse. In other words, just let it flow out. We are too stingy with our praise. And you don't realize the power of praise that it has in changing someone and lifting their spirits and making them want to be a better person and live up to what you've told them to that you see in them. Maybe the social area of their life. You say, you know, you're a good listener. I can tell you really care about people. You know, you've been a good friend to me. You helped me here. and to say it, not just think it, say it. In the spiritual area of someone's life, you can say things like, you know, I really admire your walk with God. I like to hear you pray. You know, I want to be more like you in the area of integrity. I see that you're an honest person. I look up to you. You're a good example to me. You encourage me. You know, you're a good father. You're a good mother. I like how you handled that situation. What if we just said encouraging words to one another? Words that build up. Words that give grace to the hearer, as the Bible says. Something happens when you say an encouraging word. Grace flows into their life. You've opened an opportunity for God to move into the situation. So, perfect your praise is the next point. Perfect your praise. In other words, pay attention. Think ahead. I mean, take notes. Write things down. We were watching with the men's Wednesday meeting a series on how to cherish your partner, and I just forget which way it was, but I think it was the husband. He decided that he was going to do this journal, that every day he would write down at the end of the day something that his wife had done that really he admired or liked, and he just, at the end of each day, he just wrote it down. January 1st, he wrote it down. He went through the whole year just writing down a journal every day. And he said it made me think at the end of the day. Sometimes I had to really sit down and say, okay, what happened today that I liked, that's sincere and honest? And he wrote it down. And he gave it to his wife at Christmas time. He said, I couldn't believe it. She sat down and read the whole thing in one sitting. That's how starved we are many times for praise. But don't wait to just do it at Christmas. It's something that you might want to do to help you to remember. But speak it out. Speak praise to the other individual. And stick to it. Keep it up. Don't stop just when you have some success. Let's just be dispensers of good words, healthy words. Here's the last verse, Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, in settings of silver. The right word spoken at the right time is a beautiful thing. You actually create a setting for your relationship. Do you want to be one that's powerful? An agent of change, one that everyone wants to be around, not flattering, but thoughtful, intentional praise and encouragement to people you're with. It will transform your world. Shall we stand together this morning? Right down where we live, folks. If this message is spoken to you and you realize, I need to be more careful with my words, and I want to speak good words. If you feel that way this morning, I want you just to lift your hand and I want to pray for us. If you want this to come out of your heart through your mouth. Lord, we realize that connection, heart to our mouth. And Lord, even as I start this prayer, I just feel to pray for those maybe that are here who have never given their heart to you. They've been around you, they've heard about you, but they've never really yielded their life 100% to you. They've never given you their heart. I pray right now that you would do that. They hear the benefit, Lord, of having their heart aligned with your heart so they can speak good words and overcome their tendency to be negative and damaging. And Lord, right now, I just pray. And if you're here and that's you, right now, just give your heart to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I give you my heart. I yield my life to you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm yours. Lord, with this beginning, now, Lord, help us to speak out of our heart, the good things of our heart, the good treasure of our heart. May we speak good words. May we be conscious. May we be aware. May we go about every activity with the thing of, how can I praise? How can I be an influence for good? How can I encourage someone today? Lord, I ask that that kind of guard would be put on our lips, that we would just allow good words to come forth. Help us, Lord. We need you. Like you helped Moses, that you said you'd be with him. You'd be with his mouth. You would teach him what to say. Teach us what to say. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let it be so in our hearts and minds.